Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday, June 11th, 2026, 16 and a half minutes past the hour here. Want to remind everybody tonight, we have a huge special tonight. Write it down on your calendars, put it in your cell phones, do whatever you have to do, set a reminder. 7:15 to 9 p.m. tonight, this is going to be a special. We have got people here tonight, surprises you're not going to want to miss. We have got performances tonight you're not going to want to miss. It is going to be a great, great party tonight. Probably one of the best. I don't want to jinx it by saying that. But the 12th anniversary party tonight, you are not going to want to miss this for love nor money. 7:15 to 9 p.m. tonight. Don't miss it. Please don't miss it. Now, we're going to do a lot of things this hour. There's a clip that I do want to play. First of all, I want to thank Sam Donaldson. What a pal he's always been to me. But there's a clip I want to play. Hey, it was something being questioned by Sam Donaldson, wasn't it? I didn't feel it was like one of those pressure interviews like he would give to Reagan or Clinton or President Trump. But, you know, to be questioned by Sam Donaldson, now I can check that off my bucket list. Hey, maybe one day he can come on and interview me. My career's not all that interesting, but, you know, I'm sure Sam would be up for it. He's such a nice man. All right, back to what I was saying. Because he mentioned the Donahue clip, there is a four-minute, and because Donahue was so good to me, there's a four-minute clip I want to play of a time when Phil Donahue was on this show, so I'm going to do that this hour. But we have a 14-minute taped interview from yesterday from somebody who wanted to say happy anniversary, happy 12th anniversary, and trust me, I really enjoy this little 15-minute interview. So let's get into that, and then we'll come back right after this. This is Scott Spears, and as you know, this week we have been celebrating our 12th anniversary here on the air. Over 9,000 hours of programming. How in the world does that happen? It's blown right by. We've had a tremendous time, and we are visiting with some of our favorite guests, and we are so lucky to be visiting in this segment with one of my favorite people. She is one of the best actresses in front of the camera, or also doing the things she does behind the camera. Always a great, great performer, but also does a great, great job. She's a great guest when she's on this program. She has always been very kind to me. You probably know her best these days from her work on the Hallmark Channel. What a pleasure it is to visit, as it always is, with Ashley Williams. Ashley, how are you?
Hello, Scott Spears. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you. Ashley, how are you? What's new with you?
Oh, I'm doing really well. I'm in California with my children. It's, as you know, it's the end of the school year, so we've got graduations and gifts for teachers coming out of our ears and lots of gratitude and gearing up for summer.
Any big exciting plans for summer?
Well, I got to tell you, my children are going to sleepaway camp for almost a month. And I truly can't wrap my head around it. They've been before, and I'll never forget the first time I dropped my kids off at sleepaway camp. My husband, I immediately just started crying, because I was so sad and also so happy. And we were driving by a Dunkin' Donuts, and my husband said, "Wait a second, do you want a donut? We could go get a donut right now. Like, that wouldn't even be bad parenting choice. Like, we could just do whatever we want." And it was this realization that we were kind of free. And I said, "You know what? I don't really want a donut, but I do want Burger King." So we went straight to Burger King, and we put on the Burger King crowns, and we got frozen Cokes, and we danced around, and it was perfect. So hopefully Burger King will be first up on our agenda this summer.
You know, Ashley, I think about this a lot with the people I've gotten the chance to interview over the years. Is women more than men? I don't know why it's still this way, but people always
think, or maybe it's women in general, take the onus of having kids and a career in a way that men don't or aren't certainly questioned about it. Well, why do you think that still is?
I think this is a controversial topic. I mean, I'm really blessed to have married an incredibly active partner in parenting. You know, often, like last year, I shot 3 movies in Europe, and my husband completely held down the fort. So I don't think, you know, I think it might be true in some families. It's not really true in ours. My husband is, like, incredibly active. That being said, I do think I metabolize my children's feelings in a different way than my husband does, you know? Like, last night, for example, my 11-year-old didn't feel like going to his karate class, which he loved, but he didn't want to go, and he was really upset, and, you know, I was kind of coaxing him from, you know, getting him from the car in, and my husband was around the corner, so I said, can you come in here and help me? And, you know, he got it, man, and everything, and so my husband came out of the karate studio, and I said, all right, so what are we going to do? You know, he really hates karate, and my husband just said, he's fine. He's in. He's smiling. It's over. We don't have to talk about it anymore. And I was gearing up to have a whole sort of family meeting about what to do about the fact that Gus didn't feel like going to karate. And my husband's, you know, answer was, who cares? He's in. Let's move on. And I think that kind of balance is really important.
You know, balance in life is a very difficult thing, whether it's relationships or family or children or marriages. It's a tough thing. And for a long time, it was always, well, Hollywood, that's a bad place to try to have those things. I don't know if that's so much the stigma as it once was.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's so, you know, in social media, there's so much advice out there about how to parent. And I think and how to sort of survive in the world as, you know, humans who are creative. So it's, you know, I think you find yourself a lot of the time, I find myself a lot of the time, you know, hearing about all different kinds of solutions. And I think it's possible, Scott, that just being a human is rewarding and also challenging. And I think that's probably the moral of the story. Is that what you would say after 12 years on the air?
Well, I think so. I think some days you're really excited to do it, and some days you think, boy, I wish I could do that one over, but you know you're going to do it again in 22 hours, so not much time to think about it.
Yeah, exactly. One thing my husband said to me a couple of months ago, we were in a car, and we just dropped off a kid someplace, and he said, you know, next time, I think we should have kids when we're younger. The idea of that made me laugh so hard, because I was like, This is it.
You know, Ashley, in your career, you've had great successes, been a part of some great sitcoms, currently have a great run going with the Hallmark Channel, made 3 movies last year. What is the secret to your longevity?
Ooh, we're really getting into the deep questions.
I know, who would have known this is going to be? I know, who would have known it had been so deep?
I know, I love it. I love getting right to the real questions. You know, I think ultimately over the years, you know, I've started acting when I was 11 years old. And I think I've always sort of considered myself like, I just really love to work. I love doing plays. I love telling stories. And initially that always meant theater, community theater in my hometown. And, you know, going into New York City and auditioning for a commercial and then booking that commercial and, you know, getting money for college and stuff like that. And over the years, it's become more about like TV and film, interestingly. But the truth is, now I've learned as a writer, director, producer, it really just comes down to storytelling. That's really what I love to do. I love telling stories right now. I love telling stories about love. You know, Hallmark is, it's so darn romantic, Scott. And I think I, you know, the truth is I'm pretty easy to get, you know, if you want to dance, let's dance. So right now that means I'm making Hallmark movies. I just wrapped one about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. that's going to air in the end of August. And this one I wrote and I produced it with my husband, who's also a producer. We had a blast. We love working together. This is our eighth movie that we've made together. We're going strong. We had a great time.
Is there a movie plan for the holiday season?
I do have a Christmas movie this year. I can't talk about it yet, but yes, we're shooting it in August. And all I will say is that it's a reunion that I think will really be an exciting thing for the fans. At the Hallmark Channel.
Very, very nice. You know, one thing I think of when I think of Hallmark, I think it's great that there are happy endings. I think in life it's nice to see happy endings, and we all want to see happy endings. Do you think that a Hallmark movie could have a sad ending and still pull it off?
As long as there's a kiss. Is it a sad kiss? Then we're in.
Well, it's we'll never see each other again, but I guess this is a nice parting kiss. I guess maybe we could get away with that.
I mean, I think at this point, Hallmark has become its own genre, just like a horror movie or, you know, genre, or a thriller, an action thriller, you know, where you fulfill the needs of that genre. And in this case, for one of the Hallmark genre rules is that everything's okay in the end. And then what's cool about my job is figuring out all the different interesting ways that you can accomplish that. You know, all the sort of twists and turns along the way become really entertaining, and even more so partly because you know in the end everything's going to be okay and these two people are going to fall in love. And, you know, I've mentioned this to you before, but there's a lot of bad news out there, and I really love the fact that people are turning to the Hallmark Channel these days for a little bit of a break and some reassurance that sometimes everything works out.
If you had to describe your life till this point as a movie type, what type of movie would it be?
Old tired lady? I mean, you know, I'm definitely not the young, sprightly ingenue I was when I first started talking to you, Scott. And what's exciting to me about that is I think there's a lot more opportunities for different colors and layers. You know, I think women, as they age, get more and more interesting, especially, you know, when they are wound into a story. So I'm excited about the idea that, you know, I'm in my late 40s now, and, you know, there's a lot that women can bring at my age that I've never been able to bring before. So I'm looking forward to that.
In our final few minutes here, what have you learned, period, in life? Well, what do you know now that you didn't know in your 20s?
I think one of the things, you know, there's this old quote from the Seagull, Vina and the Seagull says, and I'm paraphrasing, life ultimately is about learning how to endure things. And my ability to tolerate discomfort or joy or sadness, you know, each one of those the same, is the great challenge of life for me. And to allow myself to be uncomfortable or sad or happy in any given situation and not jump to a conclusion about it, you know, not to go straight to the black and white, but instead to live in that magical little gray area of, oof, let's get curious about this and figure out how I feel. You know, that to me is that space is the magic of life for me these days. And it's probably an ongoing process that I'm going to continue to strengthen the muscle of for many years to come, but that's the place of wonder that I think is keeping me going these days.
Well, in our final few minutes here, one thing I want to say, and I want to make sure to say it to people especially like you who have come on a lot of times when there wasn't anything to plug, just because here he is again asking me to guest on the program, as I do often, is that one thing I've learned in this particular series of 12 years and over 9,000 hours of broadcasting, and of course doing it at other places and other shows, is just recently I've come upon the idea that guests are important. I think this show has always been guest-driven, and if there hadn't been good guests like you, there would not be 12 years, and there would not be 9,000 hours. I would have been gone a long time ago, just sitting to listening to me talk. If this show were personality-driven like a lot of other shows, I'd have been done a long time ago. So I always want to thank the guests who come on and let me pester them with questions like you have done for so many years now, and hopefully you'll do for another few years.
Absolutely. Scott, I think what you're saying is that I am the answer and the reason for your success.
I think so.
And to that, I'd just like to say, you're welcome. You know, Scott, you're the magnet that we're all drawn to. So it says the fact that you like your guests, it says a lot about you. You know how to pick them. So thank you so much for letting me be a regular around here. I'm honored, and I will always come back and talk to you anytime you need. It's a joy for me.
It's a joy for me as well. Ashley Williams, one of my favorite people. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you, Scott. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Doesn't get any better than that. Ashley Williams from the Hallmark Channel and so many other acting projects. She was on How I Met Your Mother, Good Morning Miami, whole lot of other great things. Love Ashley Williams. One more thing I want to do, and then we're going to get to the phone lines if you want to call in. Phil Donahue was on this program. Phil Donahue was a great, great person to me. Could not have been nicer. I could tell Phil Donahue stories all day long. I'm not going to do that this morning. But Phil Donahue came on this program live, 8 to 10 in the morning, January 20th, 2021, the inauguration day of Joe Biden, and did 2 hours with me live that morning, and I believe this is the end of that interview with the great, late Phil Donahue from January 20th, 2021, a man who did so much for my career and I had a lot of fun with over the years.
One final question and a one-word answer on this from you. You have sat across from Donald Trump. You've interviewed Donald Trump. The Trump presidency will end later on today. It will be an interesting four-year period in our history. If you had to sum it up from a guy you knew, and by the way, we should mention, no pardons this morning for Donald Trump or anybody in his family, but if you had to sum this whole thing up, this four-year period of the Donald Trump presidency, what's the one word you'd use?
I think the Donald Trump presidency has raised a very large mirror which reflects the American people. A mirror that has forced us to look at ourselves. This is an historic event that drops the curtain on an assembly of proud patriots who I think haven't spent enough time examining themselves. A media that has failed to really explore how did this happen. I'm sorry, I didn't have a one-word answer.
No, it was good. And I do want to remind everybody very quickly that Marlo Thomas and Phil Donahue did write a book last year. Very good book. What Makes a Marriage Last? You can get this anywhere, and it is definitely worth the read. I read it. And again, I want to say this before we part, because, like I say, Mr. Donahue doesn't do these very often, but Phil Donahue got it right a whole lot. If you go back and look over the last 50 years, 30 years of his syndicated show and all the other things and statements he's made, he was ahead of the curve many, many times, and we all should be thankful to him for that, as thankful as I am this morning that he joined us on Inauguration Day 2021, because anytime Phil Donahue is on, I am definitely a happier person. There's only one guy you can say started this whole thing, and that's Phil Donahue. Only one name. When they write the history of all these issue-oriented talk shows, including this one, Phil Donahue's name comes first in the book, without doubt. You are a classic, Mr. Donahue, and I hope you come back as often as you would like.
Well, thank you so much, Scott, and I look forward to an opportunity to have a Starbucks coffee with you someday. We gotta say hello. We gotta meet. You've made me a real fan, and I'm grateful for all the kind words you've said about me, and I'm very impressed with your work ethic. You are a person who works for a living, and that impresses me more than anything. And I wish you good well, and I hope that your career will continue with the same vitality that is expressing itself today. You're going to be around for a long time, and not everybody is. I ought to know, so don't stop now, and let's commit to a Starbucks meeting one of these days soon.
And we did have that Starbucks meeting. It was actually later that year. That was January 20th, 2021, the legendary Phil Donahue, and I think we met up for that Starbucks in March or April of that year. All right, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944, and by the way, when we met up, we did do another interview. How about that? From his penthouse that he lived in with Marlo Thomas in New York. Now, it doesn't get any better than that. 740-383-9944. 2021, that interview was from. And we certainly thank Ashley Williams for coming on the program this morning. She has had a busy tape schedule this week, and she carved out 15 minutes to tape that interview yesterday with me. What a pal she is. All right, and Sam Donaldson. You know, that's why I'm still here after 12 years. Look at the list of people. And the Madeleine Albright clip this morning. First female Secretary of State. Holy mackerel. 740-383-9944. And also, don't forget, tonight, 7 until 9 p.m., we have our live anniversary special on this station. Set it on your calendar, set it on your cell phone, set an alarm, do whatever you got to do. You don't want to miss this tonight. We're going to have special guests, special performances, a lot of great stuff going on tonight at 7 p.m. on this station. And as always, it's a little crazy when we do these anniversary parties. It always gets a little off-kilter. All right, 39 minutes past the hour, and the phone lines are open this morning, 740-383-9944. So if anybody wants to talk about City Council and the extended four-year terms of City Council going on the ballot this fall, we can talk about that. We can talk about, what else did we talk about yesterday? Oh, we talked about the valedictorian speech at Cardington. That's interesting. You know, I was having a discussion last night with somebody about that. And, you know, that's an interesting story, because the valedictorian turned in his speech to the principal, I believe at the school, The principal told him the things he could say and could not say. He didn't say those things when he got up and gave the speech on Sunday, but the principal did move him away from the lectern at the end. So, I don't know. I don't know. It seems to me that maybe, and I know this will be very unpopular, it seems to me that maybe the student should have had the fight with the school when he turned in the speech. Or maybe not put that in the written version of the speech and just said it at the end of his speech. I don't know if they would have cut him off. Maybe they would have. But I do want to say, I don't think the principal knocking the student out of the way was a good look. I mean, once the valedictorian starts in, as long as it's not profane, you just got to let it go. You can talk to him later on, but I don't think getting up and moving the student out of the way was a great idea. I think that's why it made the news. I don't think it had anything to do with the content of the speech. I think it was the way the principal acted in the moment when he went off script. The student went off script. So that I think that's where the blame is. Now, why this got laid on the superintendent, I don't really understand, because a lot of people were really upset with him the next day and upset that he got a 5-year extension. But I don't know that the superintendent had anything to do with telling the principal to cut the speech off, because the superintendent, I don't know how you can tell the principal what to do. I don't even know if they were close to each other. In any event, does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Any thoughts on anything? We can talk about what's going on in the city. We can talk about what's going on there over in Cardington. We can talk about the anniversary here. We can talk about any subject we broached with Sam Donaldson this morning. If you want to talk about Hallmark movies, we can talk about that. The late Phil Donahue, anything you want to ask. We can do anything this morning in our remaining 18 minutes here. 740-383-9944. All right. Voice of a People with Linda Sims will follow this program today, 10:15 to 12 noon. And then we'll have Adam the Computer Guy today from 12:15 until 1 p.m. So there's always something going on. I think this case in Maine with Plattner is very interesting. You know, is it okay to vote for somebody who has said anti-Semitic things, has said racist things, has had inappropriate relationships with women, who has done all that just to get power back in the Senate? Is that okay? Now, there are two schools of thought in that, I guess. The school of thought is we're in bad times here, and the Democrats have to get control of something. And then the other school of thought is that no matter how much you want to get back into power, you don't vote for a flawed candidate, and there have to be other routes to fix this problem. I don't know. I think it's a very tough question. Ultimately, I think just leave it up to the voters in Maine. He won the primary the other night. If Plattner or whatever his name is, if he wins the election, he wins the election. That'll be what the voters of Maine wanted. And if they don't want him, they won't vote him in. You know, I don't see it really as any other case than that. That's how I kind of see city council, to be honest with you. However people vote this fall on this 4-year term extension, you know, you also vote for the people. Nobody's going to get a 4-year term who's up there right now unless they run unopposed, given to them. They're all going to have to run again in 2027. So, you know, I guess if you don't like the people, if you do vote them in for 4 years, decide to change it from 2 to 4 year staggered terms, if you do that, then I guess run people against them. Get other people in office, because you're gonna give them 4-year terms. It's always up to the voter. You know, that's kind of how I look at almost anything with elections. If you don't like something, don't vote for it. And I guess that that goes for the major on the ballot this fall. So there you are. We've got about 15 minutes left here. Does anybody got any thoughts on that? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to weigh in on anything we're talking about here. And hopefully, more participation will be seen in city council meetings and county commissioner meetings. I certainly think that is not a bad thing on the whole. And does it change people's mind? I don't know. Probably not every time. But I think there are cases where people's mind are changed. And I'm not necessarily sure that you have to be in elected office to change people's mind. So there's that caveat as well. You know? Have you heard, by the way, of how many people are getting sick? What is going on? I have heard about people getting sepsis. I have heard about people getting terrible sinus infections. I'm hearing a lot of things going on in the medical field right now. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
You just said, if you don't want to vote, if you don't agree with something, then don't vote for it. So I just want to clarify to the people out there, you still got to vote.
Oh, yes.
You're saying
yes.
Vote no. If you don't want to do something or you don't agree with something, vote no. If you want it, vote yes. But we all got to vote. We all got to show up and vote. Don't not show up.
Well, right, and that's what's so bizarre about this Plattner story that's making national attention in Maine. I keep thinking, well, people are jumping on the Democrats for endorsing him. People are jumping on a lot of people for saying he's flawed, he's not flawed. Well, you know what? Ultimately, if the voters in Maine don't want him, don't vote for him.
Exactly. I mean, there's a lot of people that I don't agree with their politics, but I respect that they do politic. They do vote. They do get out, and I get frustrated with a lot of people who do a lot of bitching, and sometimes I reach out to them and I'll say, well, you know, who'd you vote for last time, or who'd you vote? You know, oh, I haven't voted in my whole life. Then you need to sit down and shut up and accept what you get.
Right, and I think that's where we are here. And, you know, by the way, we've got a Senate race, and maybe because nobody has Nazi tattoos or sex scandals, it's not as prevalent right now in the news. But right now, this is a Republican seat that John Husted holds. Sherrod Brown is even with him in the polls, so there is a Senate race that the Democrats could flip. But it's not being talked about as much because I guess it's not as salacious as what's going on in Maine.
Well, sure, that, and again, I think with Sherrod Brown, with his chances and the odds of him winning, with the governor's race, with what's going with that, I really don't think they're going to vote for Vivek. I think there's the winds of politics are changing, and I think that's directly driving this city council vote to, you know, extend their terms. I think they're extremely worried about getting voted out of office. I agree with Dad Smith on some of the things, but I don't agree with the, well, it takes so much time to campaign. You know what? Do your job, and I would encourage all the council people to get out, and if you're really about serving the people, get out in your neighborhoods. Get out in your ward. I mean, pick a street one day and hit your, you know, I mean, you need to get out and be seen and talk to people and introduce yourself to people, knock on doors. I mean, you don't see anything out there. It doesn't really seem like the council people as a whole, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but as a whole, it doesn't seem like they really want to hear from the public, because if I wanted, I mean, if they had something for sale, they'd put a big sign out there. They'd get on Facebook, they'd just that. They need to sell themselves.
Well, and you know what's interesting? You hear from the Democratic Party all the time that they can't win elections. Well, last time they ran two candidates, and 50% of them won. Kreider got elected by a pretty substantial margin.
Right, and no guts, no glory. I mean, you got to take chances, and I think that's what the people that are on council right now. They took the chance, they ran. Yes, there's going to be some money that's spent in doing that, and you know, nobody wants to lose. I think it's tough, in my opinion, and I've voiced this before with the Democratic Party. We're a society today that we want T-shirts, and we want a clubhouse, and we want all that kind of thing. And, you know, the Republicans got a nice little clubhouse up there on Center Street. And, you know, I don't believe I can even find a Democratic clubhouse in Marion, Ohio.
No, but I'll tell you, there are a lot of people, if they were assured a sure thing, which politics is never a sure thing, if they were assured that they were going to win, they would run in a second because they do want the job. What they don't want to do is say that they lost, which to me has become, that's ridiculous in a way, because this is the way politics has always worked. Somebody wins, somebody loses. The best person doesn't always win. Why are people's egos so big now that they can't take a loss? And why would you go into an office saying, I can't win? You know, I hear people who will say, well, if I ran for that, I would lose. Well, if you haven't done anything and you haven't got any petitions and you're already saying you're going to lose, well, yeah, you probably are.
Well, and people who've never lost or people who've never failed or people who've never, you know, achieved what their goals are mostly people who've never tried. As I say often, I respect the fact that, I mean, say Welcome Collins, you know, he's made mistakes. He's made good things, decisions, bad decisions. You know, get up and say, here's what I said, here's what I did, I've learned from it, I made a mistake, you know, I really believe this was right. But people are so afraid of, because, again, it goes back to national politics, and everybody is, you know, President Trump has, he deflects everything, and he projects, and that's where we're at. I think so many people today run for politics, they say they want to be politicians. I don't think they really want the job. I think they want the status. I think they want the, I mean, again, I'm going to go back to, I've never seen so many people from any party quit their jobs as the Republican Party in this town. As I said, you got Robert Landon, you got Mike Neff, you've got Twyla, you've got the doctor who was, you know, multiple times said, I'll quit, and then he did quit. I mean, he served out his term, but he, you know, then he didn't quit. But, you know, you say you want to represent the people, and then you get in the office, and, oh, it's not what was cracked up to be. It goes back to these four-year terms. I really, if a person can get an associate's degree in a two-year period and, you know, still go to school, still, you know, take care of their bills and go to work and do all that, why can't a council person get up to speed on the parliamentary, you know, all of that crap and you know, how the procedures go and all that? Why do they need 4 years? I mean, for real.
Well, and I think that's a good point. But people have the chance to vote on that this fall.
Yep, and as I said at the beginning, I just want to make sure that they do show up and vote. We have to, you know, if you think, well, I'm just going to vote no, so I just won't even go. No, you have to go and cast that vote. You have to.
That's right. That's right. Very good point. Hey, thanks for calling.
All right. Have a great day.
All right. Now, still, phone lines are open here. We've got about 6 minutes left in the program, so if you'd like to weigh in, feel free. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We always enjoy hearing from the listening audience out there. I think it's all on the voters. You know, if the voters don't want it, I can't imagine why they would vote for it. So that's where we are, and I guess we'll see what happens. It's going to be an interesting time this November. I think with all these statewide offices up, there's a big question of will things turn Democratic again? I don't know if they will or not, but I guess that's something we certainly will see as we go on down the road. And I do want to remind everybody again that the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give me a buzz if there's anything on your mind.
We do have about 5 minutes left in the program, and we'll be back again tonight. Don't forget the big anniversary program, big anniversary special. Lots of fun tonight. 7:15 until 9 p.m. on this station, something you will not want to miss for love nor money. We have got great special guests, great performances, people coming back here tonight who haven't been here in quite some time. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I know everybody here is looking forward to that tonight. All right, who's going to be the last caller today? 5 minutes left to go, or about 4 minutes now. 740-383-9944. You can still get your thought in today on anything we've talked about, from city council to the graduation speech over in Cardington, and let's see, what else is there? Well, voting's an interesting thing. So all that to discuss here in the final few minutes. 740-383-9944. As I've always said, you know, people who take the time to run for office, I have a great admiration for that, because you do have the possibility of losing, but you also have the possibility of winning. And I think that is a great, great thing. I think that's the whole idea of this idea. I don't know. 50-50. You could win, you could lose, I guess, with 4 minutes left to go here. Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller.
I just wanted to say I regret not filling my car up yesterday, because BP on Fairground was 383, and now today it's 409.
My goodness, that's quite a jump.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you, this gasoline price, it fluctuates like nobody's business.
I know, BP on Fairground though usually is good. So I guess what I'm going to do is, every time it is low, even if I'm, you know, no matter what my tank says, I'm going to go ahead and top it off.
That's right, because it could go up.
No, it's like that. If I'd have topped it off yesterday, I'd have got it for 383, and now today it's 409.
I know. It is a mess. I don't know how people are able to do that right now with everything that's going on.
That and the groceries.
And the groceries just keep going up as well.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll let you go.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, we've still got about 3 minutes left in the program today. Feel free to weigh in. We can have one more caller today if somebody would like to daringly slip in before the program's over. 740-383-9944. 58 minutes past the hour here on this Thursday, June 11th. And I do want to remind everybody again to tune in tonight. Big anniversary program, 7:15 until 9 p.m. on this station. And it's really, really going to be fun. There's a lot of fun stuff planned tonight. And, of course, we'll be back tomorrow morning starting at 8:15 in the morning. And we'll run through 1 o'clock tomorrow. And then we'll be on tomorrow night from 8:15 to 10. And then Matt will be on from 10:15 to 11. Linda Sims is coming up next here from 10:15 to 12 noon. And Adam the Computer Guy from 12:15 to 1. And we are approaching the final minutes here. 740-383-9944. About 90 seconds left in the program. So if somebody did want to call in, they could say something, if you can say it, in 90 seconds. Now there's down to 60 seconds now. Holy mackerel, what a morning we've had here. We thank Ashley Williams for calling in. We certainly thank Sam Donaldson for calling in. It's always great to hear the late Phil Donahue's voice from an interview from January 20th, 2021, Inauguration Day. What fun he was. All right, here comes the last call with 30 seconds. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, this is the Josh Daniels who likes to bully Naomi Craig and pick on little females. I'd invite him to unblock me from Facebook from one of our little kerfluffles that he blocked me from, and bully me. You know what? We can do it on Facebook. We can do it face-to-face, Josh. You know, just put the shotgun down. You know, don't want to get shot, buddy. Have a great day, Buck.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, there we go, and there's a note to end on. Tune in tonight, 7:15 to 9 p.m. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
The clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?
You know, the funny thing is, and as I mentioned before, my voice